Please repeat after me. Om Namo. And now the whole mantra in one go. Om Namo Bhagavate Affectionately welcome you. I think we in some ways bonded by yesterday's mutual experience of that long and very immersive in some ways boat drive to this amazing temple in Belwan. Remember how we were surrounded by parrot sounds and bullock, what is it, water buffaloes, black water buffaloes sounds, and how we returned then to this beautiful ancient temple, and in the temple had this very joyful kirtan program. So yes, I feel already very much part of you. It's only a few hours, but when there is something spiritual that bonds us, we do not see so much our different natures, no? Today I would like to speak about overcoming a great enemy in our own hearts. It's envy. What exactly is envy? There was once a discussion. Oh yeah, thank you for helping. I will be a little louder in a moment. Yes, somehow. Yes, like this. Yes. Once this question, what exactly is envy, was put to the Raja Rishi, the saintly emperor of the greater India, Maharishi Yudhisthira, and he says envy is actually a feeling of lacking. You lack something, and you see and think another has what you would like to have, what you are lacking inside, and then there is no joy about his or her success, but there is a crippling feeling of profound sadness, this is what he said, a profound sadness that eats away at your energy. No? Envy is ultimately something that is harmful to you. The other person will not be so much affected, only he might see your angry or sad eyes or your... Yeah, but the effect will be felt most by you. So envy comes from a feeling of lacking, of not having enough, and then you see that another person has what you would like, and first you feel sad about it. Then you begin, then the other manifestations of envy start, which are dislike, discomfort to be in his presence, ignoring them, trying to blend them out of your life, because you want to deal with that, you want to avoid the sadness in the heart. This envy rests or sleeps in the heart of every one of us, and it comes out at times like a snake that is sleeping, but then it's, when something happens where it is released, in other words, when we see a person we are envious of, the snake rises its ugly head. Krishna, in his earthly pastimes, dealt with this. And by remembering his pastime in relationship to Kaliya, the snake who represents enviousness, you will become free from that burning pain within your own heart, and you will always live in a from a place of abundance. You will never feel I lack something, and also bad karma is removed from your list. So now we will enter into something which I would like to term therapeutic hearing. We hear, and as the scriptures say, as we listen to this, no effort to analyze, no effort to understand, just hear the pastimes, therapy will be done on our hearts, so that we will always come from a place of abundance, enough, I have enough in my life, and we will never come from a place of lack and feel unpleasant feelings towards those who we think have more than us. So now every one of you get into your listening seat, relax in the listening seat. We will have, Ragini is not with us. No. Yeah, it's good if we have Ragini. It is. Yes. But this time, no rock and roll. Last time, everyone was. We had our musical conversation. Everyone was, busy with our lights and could not focus entirely on the kirtan. So we needed to draw the attention. And there are a few means a musician knows how to do this. First of all, please know when Krishna acts out his various pastimes, he has various purposes in mind which he fulfills all at the same time. What you will hear now is a pastime whereby which Krishna delivers all the conditioned souls from the snake of envy. One day Krishna moved to a part of the Yamuna which he had not visited before. It was a place that his mother had forbidden him to go, because in this part the river Yamuna formed something like a lake of poison. Yes, the lake was covered with a slimy yellow and reddish substance. It was so contaminated that when birds flew over this lake of poison, they became poisoned themselves and dropped. When the fresh breezes that are so relieving, like you have seen yesterday, took up droplets of water from this lake of poison and spread it to the trees which were nearby, the trees died. Why was Yamuna so contaminated? It was not because Delhi dumped its garbage into the Yamuna like it's done today. It was because a mystical Naga lived on the bottom of that lake of poison. It was the many-hooded snake Kalia. My dear everyone, I once saw a three-headed snake in Bengal and was afraid. These are Nagas, mystical beings. They have magical powers in them. But Kalia was the super Naga. He had thousands of heads. It said he had 101 prominent heads, but there were many other heads around him. He had lived in this lake for many ages, and therefore Mother Yashoda had told Krishna, never ever come close to the lake of poison. The water was boiling. The vapor enveloped parts of the nearby areas. But one morning, Krishna decided, let me go and deliver this entity who lives on the bottom of the lake. It was the morning where his elder brother, Balaram, was not with him because he was at home giving charities to the Brahmanas. Why? It was his birthday. When you have birthday, you should give gifts and not be greedy for gifts. That's the idea. You should celebrate by giving, not by taking. So Krishna did not waste much time. He purposefully climbed on the only surviving tree at the banks of the river of poison. He bound his waist cloth like a wrestler who's getting ready for action. And there were only a few cows with him. He had sneaked away. He jumped into the river Yamuna. It felt as if an elephant had splashed into a lake. Great waves were creating, and Kalia, who was resting on the bottom of the lake, was shaken. And he thought, who has dared to enter my kingdom? He emerged from the bottom and he looked around, and there was Krishna swimming carefree in the lake of poison. Kalia at first could not believe his eyes. I mean, everyone avoided him, and here was this little boy he had heard rumors about, who was swimming carefully with a happy smile in the river. There's a text in the Bhagavatam which shows us how Kalia reacted And as you listen to this text, you will see what envy does to the heart. You cannot feel joy about someone. Tam prekshaniya sukamaya ganaya datam. I know you all speak Sanskrit, so. Kaliya saw that Shri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. Everything very delicate, very refined, very beautiful. With attractive body, he was shining like a white cloud. Oops, you have seen depictions of saints, they always seem to have an aura around their head, a light. Now Krishna's whole body was surrounded by this light, that therefore he was glowing with this light. His chest was bearing the mark of Sri Vatsa. Kali had never seen this. It's a lock on the chest that goes three times around like this. His face was smiling beautifully, and his feet resembled the whirl of a lotus flower. I find this very interesting. Kaliya saw his feet. Normally you don't see, pay much attention at the feet, but because Krishna was swimming, the soles of his feet were sometimes coming out of the water, and Krishna seemed to show to Kaliya, take shelter at my soothing lotus feet, and so on. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. He began to sprinkle water at Kaliya in the face. Despite his most wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya could not feel joy in his heart, and he dashed forward like snakes do and bit the Lord in his chest. Then he wrapped his coils quickly around him. I'm sorry, but that's what he did. enveloped the Lord in his coils, trying to crush every single bone in him. This is the result of envy. Your vision is so clouded that even the Lord, even Krishna, even this most amazing scene of unearthly, transcendental beauty cannot strike your heart and soften it, but you strike back even and rush forward. The moment this happened, bad omens began to appear over Vrindavan's sky. Meteors fell down. The earth started to shake dangerously. And the bodies of all Brijbasis and the animals began to shiver. Everyone knew these omens spell the greatest of tragedies. Our Lord Krishna, something is with him that is very, very hard for us to confront. At that time, an old man came running into the village. His face was streaming with tears. In the beginning he couldn't speak, but then he shouted out, "Krishna! Krishna went this morning to the lake of poison And the monster has not only attacked him. What? And the old man fell down unconscious. He couldn't continue the sentence. Everyone in Vrindavan, the elderly cowherd men, the cows, the elderly gopis, the young gopis, the beauties of Braj, they began to run down the path. There were many paths, but they knew which path Krishna had taken in the morning because of the beautiful imprints of his lotus feet in the dust of Vrindavan. They were visible, they were shining. These were the most beautiful imprints, so sweet. But when they came to the lake of poison, they only could groan, because they saw the beloved Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, who had risen out of the lake of poison and was a towering symbol of evil. He was licking his licks, his bifurcated tongue shot out, and his eyes were red with rage. And he said, he seemed to say, "Look, people, what I have done with your hero. I will crush him now before your eyes. You will see him squeezed to death by my coils, and then I will come out of my lake and you will see my magic." It was fear-inspiring. But the cowherd man, Krishna's mother, let's start with her mother, she didn't think about the danger. She wanted to rush in the water and take Krishna out of the coils of Kaliya. They only know Krishna, 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 not my own safety. The elderly lady said, "Yashoda, don't do that." And they held her back, but she was so desperate to save her little boy that at the end she just fainted and perspired on the ground. By now, the scene was turning into the greatest misery. Balaram, the elder brother, was there. You remember, he had stayed back in the village to give charity. Balaram said, listen everyone. But they were wailing and crying and wanting to enter the water. This is Krishna. You think of him as your little village boy, the focus of all your love and attention, but he's the all-powerful God. What can an ordinary water snake of this world do to him? Just compose yourself. But his words were of no avail. Then he said, "Don't you remember the foretelling of Gaga Rishi?" Gaga Rishi, there was a well-known name, maybe like the world knows the Dalai Lama and respects him. Gaga Rishi was well respected. He was a great saint. He had written an entire, I think, a 30-volume work about Krishna, and he had said Krishna is no one. In him, the powers of God work. He's not like any one of you. But do you know what happens when you love? It creates a very intense form of closeness. the mother, for instance, may love the president and say, "Oh, foolish little Donald," and shape up and may fondle her son. Maybe that example doesn't work age-wise, no? I don't know if Donald's mother is still alive. But love overcomes all distance. That's why we know the easiest way to close the gap between us and the Lord is bhakti, no? Devotion, devotional love. It immediately shrinks thousands of kilometers, billions of kilometers, and billions of disqualifications. It all shrinks that away and brings you into close vicinity. Have you ever loved? Yes, and you know. Everyone may say your partner is very beautiful and very rich or very powerful, but you're just thinking, when will you walk through the park and eat bread with nice sesame paste on it? And you're not thinking of this. The young gopis were most affected. They remembered Krishna's loving friendship. They remembered his smiling glances. They remembered the loving prattles they had during their romantic encounters. And they looked now, for Krishna was not moving in the coils of the snake of Kaliya. They were thinking, now this whole universe has burned to ashes. There is nothing for us to do any longer except entering this lake of poison and die also along with our beloved. Now, as Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, everyone thought he cannot see because his eyes were closed like mine. But Krishna lives in the heart, and he had attained his purpose. He had evoked the supermost excellent love of his devotees. And this is what Krishna always does. He is next to you, and he will try to increase your love, because he knows only love will burn away everything that should not be in your heart. And he will draw out more love out of you, sometimes by disappearing and you feel he's no longer with me. Sometimes by appearing and being closer. He's always concerned about one thing. Like a bee who always wants to drink honey, Krishna wants to drink love. And therefore, now he slowly opened his eyes and he spoke to Kaliya. "Enough now. You have shown me some of your tiny strengths. Now I will show you a little particle of my strength." And he suddenly expanded. Kaliya tried to keep him in his coils, but by the superior power of the Lord, his coils burst open. Not that they broke, but he was just... it was almost as if you are hold an iron chains and you go ping and you destroy the chain. So Kaliya was thinking, "My God, what is he doing?" And then he heard the words, "I show you some of my strengths now." Krishna immediately jumped into the Yamuna boat, and as everyone looked on, he began to encircle Kaliya, a little bit like perhaps a combatant will encircle his opponent, sometimes dart forward, sometimes go back. He swam around him and smiled. Kaliya said, wait. He began to follow Krishna. And Krishna was increasing his speed. Soon it was only white foam which was visible. They were encircling. And then Krishna had exhausted Kaliya. Now, as he had exhausted Kaliya,